This morning, we're going to be looking at God's people make a difference in the world. And that is taken from Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. And all of you, I'm sure, are familiar with this particular passage of scripture. And let's go ahead and read this and share about what we need to do to make a difference in this world as God's people. So beginning with verse 13, which says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under foot by men. But you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." When we come to know the Lord, we are transformed into His, to be a holy instrument. And we are to be used by the Lord. And that's why I entitled this, that we can make a difference in this world. Because we belong to the Lord, we are transformed. We're not conformed to the world, but we're transformed in the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have a use and we have a purpose. But some choose to make themselves useless or unavailable sometimes to the Lord. And therefore, His mighty hand cannot touch or work through our lives where it would make a difference in the world. So the Lord does not desire isolation on our part as Christians. We are not to be isolated. We're not to be complacent in our letting our light shine. And as the song we sung as we opened this morning, put a great focus and a picture on what we should be doing as Christians. Now, when I look at this passage today, we're going to look at what Jesus has said about our usefulness or uselessness to Him. So hopefully we will come to an understanding of what Jesus tells us, and therefore we'll take action on that. So I don't think any of us willingly desire to disobey our Lord, do we? That's not even in our grid system as Christians. And therefore, I want us to look at the first part of this in verse 13, where it says, "What kind of salt are you?" Now, when you think about salt, salt is used in many, many different capacities. And the first thing that Jesus said here in this verse, "Let your light," or "let," you are the salt of the earth, okay? You are the salt of the earth. And let us look at some usage of salt. And we all use salt. Everybody likes salt? I know we're forbidden to use a lot of salt in our dietary things that we eat and so forth, but it is good, isn't it? It really is. And perhaps the preservation of meat, seasoning food, cracking and melting ice, and making homemade ice cream. I wanted to slide that in there, right? Homemade ice cream. And something else that we use salt for is killing weeds. You ever use salt for killing weeds? Yeah. After it's melted down in ice, and just pour it on the weeds, and it takes care of them. Tomato plants.
Yeah,
how about that? Yeah, all right. put it on your tomato plants. And they'll be salty, right? When they grow. So first, let's look at the preservation of salt. A lot of people know about the saltness of famous country ham. You know, everybody likes country ham. But why is there salt in country ham? Why? Well, I learned about that growing up as a young man on the farm. We slaughtered our own hogs and cut it up and everything, salted it down and hung it in the smokehouse. And that preserved it, it cured it and so forth, and guess what? It kept the flies off of it too. Something else. How are we to salt the earth? When Jesus used this term, you are the salt of the earth. When we accepted Jesus Christ, God made a covenant with us. He did. And as I was looking in the Old Testament, I found a verse there. It talked about the salt was used to preserve or typify the eternal nature of the covenant of salt existing between God and Israel. And this is what 2 Chronicles 13:5 says. There we are. Should you not know that the Lord God of Israel gave dominion over Israel to David forever, to him, his sons, by a covenant of salt? Now, how many of you knew this was in the Bible? So it's a covenant. Jesus Christ is the seed of David, and when we are covered by his blood and by his salvation, we are made heirs of God's kingdom. Hallelujah, amen. We're made heirs, heirs according to this promise. Israel is the heir of God's kingdom, and so are we. So we become the children of God, of Israel, through Israel, by Israel, because God chose them to be his covenant people. And we are his covenant people as well, because we belong to him. Now, the Lord has given his children dominion over the earth by, according to this verse, the covenant of salt, meaning that we are here to preserve the earth. That's why God put us here, and to practice stewardship of what we have been given. And we have been given a lot of things by God to bless this world, to make a difference in this world. And the responsibility that we have been given to make this world a better place, to share the message of salvation in the world, and to transform this world into something of God's people. Changing God's people. Now, the second thing is seasoning the power of salt. And many of us we put salt on soup, and I know we're going to be having soup on the 26th of this month in our senior meal. We'll have several different ones of soups. On watermelon, cantaloupe, popcorn, and a big juicy tomatoes, right? And it makes a difference. It makes the food more tastier. For example, in 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 19 through 22, also in the Old Testament, Elisha used salt to sweeten the bitter waters of the Jericho spring. How many knew that was in the Bible as well? So there's many uses of salt. And as Christians, as I thought about the salt and light, I haven't got to the light yet, but let our light shine. But as Christians, we are called to be world tasters. We are to be sprinkled in the whole face of the earth, slowly influencing and tasting the places, the planet, to make our way into the people and their places until they look like something like Christ. That's our responsibility. And are healed of their spiritual blindness. And that's why we are to be the salt of the earth and we are to let our light shine. Now, another thing salt is used for is cracking and melting ice. This world is full of hearts that are hard as stone. And as I was thinking about this, it takes me back to when God sent Moses to Pharaoh. And of course we had the 10 plagues and so forth. And each time one of the plagues was brought upon the Egyptians, Pharaoh, he would give in, and then his heart would get hard, and then he got harder and harder until the last one, which was the blood over the post. And at that point, God hardened his heart, and there was no return for Pharaoh because Pharaoh's heart was not right. And therefore, God hardened his heart to the point that there was no hope for Pharaoh at that point. And that's where we step in today, in our world today, with people who have hard hearts or differences against the Word of God, against God Himself. And we are to be that light. We are to be that salt, to sprinkle that salt that we have that makes us shine and makes us salty, to help them to be what God wants them to be as well. So the world is full of that, as hard stone, as cold as ice. And Jesus calls us to go out to tell others of his love so that they may be broken and their hardness cracked by the power of God's love. And one verse, you know, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. That is power there in God's love. Salt is also used to soften water. Jesus wants us to soften the hearts of others. If people sees our hearts soft and open and sensitive to God's love, and we just shower them with the love also of God's love, you know, it should melt and warm them, and Jesus would cover them with his salvation as well. The second thing, not only as we look that where Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth, but he says, you are the salt, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? Now, when salt is mined, the miners found that because of the impurities and the occurrences of the chemical changes, the outer layer was generally lacking in flavor. So in reference to verse 13, that's why much salt was discarded or was worthless. That's how it was discarded. Now, so we are to let our salt shine. Not only our light shine, but we are to let our salt shine as well. Now, some Christians become tainted and by the impurities of sins of the world. And our salt and our Christian walk can get contaminated as well. So the salt which was once white and pure is now dark, dingy, stained with sin. So when our purity becomes contaminated, Jesus sees us useless. That's an analogy. That's what the Greek uses here, that our salt becomes contaminated and something to the point of being cast out or discarded. Now, here we come to where does your light shine? Now, our salt, but now we are to let our light shine. In verses 14 through 16. Now, I brought a little flashlight with me today. Now, You wouldn't think this put out much light, would you? Now I'm going to turn, I hope it works. It does work. Now, suppose this room was dark, okay? Completely dark. I mean, I'm using an analogy here. What's the difference between this light shining now in a bright room against darkness? See, in darkness, you could see this very good, couldn't you? But in this bright room, you can just barely see it. I mean, it's LED, so I don't want to shine in your face, but it, you know, there's not much difference there, right? But this little light in the darkness will remove the portion of light that it's where it is. And see, we don't have to be big flashlights, right? We don't have to be a big light. We can be a small light and let our shine, light shine for the Lord. Now, what does this say about our ministry to the world? If we as Christians insist on associating with only believers and staying in our holy huddle, then our light will not shine like Jesus is referring to here. It would be blended in with the lights of all the other Christians. And that's why Jesus was teaching the disciples that they are to let their light shine. He was speaking to the disciples and his followers. It will remain in the church building only. So, however, if we will do, as Jesus said, let our light shine before men, mainly those who are in darkness, then our light will stand out. Lost will be the moths that are drawn to the bright light or the flame. If you notice at night, if you have a light on outside, moths or bugs, they will go to that light, won't they? A few years ago, in 1986, Amy Grant, you know, she sang Christian music, and she did a lot of concerts all over the nation. In 1986, she was invited to sing at Cincinnati, at one of the amusement parks there. And as she was singing and so forth, she had gotten a lot of criticism for turning to country music. And she paused in the midst of a concert and gave her own personal testimony about why she felt led to go into that type of music along with her Christian music. She said, you know, it's easy to be in the light of the world and stand out among other Christians. But she said, the Lord laid upon my heart to also go into the darkness of the world and sing to those that did not know Jesus Christ. She said, it's easy to hang out with Christians and minister to them. But she said, in my heart, the Lord was telling me to go to the dark places of the world and sing to those that didn't know him personally. And there was a hush came over that concert that night when people realized what she was saying. Didn't Jesus hang out with sinners? He did. He went to places where sinners went. Now, Amy Grant said, you know, I don't go to the place where they hang out and do all the things that they do. But she said, my focus was to keep my eyes focused on the light of Jesus Christ. If I kept myself focused on the light of Jesus Christ, then wherever I went, where I went to sing, people would know that I am a Christian, and my main focus was to portray him in my life. So, where is the support of what I am sharing here this morning? In Matthew chapter 9, verses 10 through 12, we read, it says, "Now it happened, as Jesus said at the table in the house, and that, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples." In verse 11, "And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to his disciples, 'Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?'" And then Jesus heard this, and he had a response to that. He says in verse 12, "Those who are well have no need for a physician, but those who are sick." Good answer, right? Good answer. Jesus always had the right answers. See, we see that even Jesus was criticized. We would be criticized, but we should not ever be ashamed. Like Amy Graham, she stood up and held her head up high. And you know, maybe you and myself thought it was a little odd back in 86 when she decided to go to country music. But as she sat down and began to write songs of the country world and so forth, those songs were written to reach people that didn't know Jesus Christ. See, Jesus tells us that we must be a light unto the world. But we have to be in the right relationship with him. And that means a big difference in order to become that light. And we have to be as Moses, who faced the stone. We went up on the Mount Sinai to get the Ten Commandments. And then when he came off of the mountain, people could see that he was different. There was something a bit different about Moses. His complexion was different. His hair was different. Everything about him, because he had been in the presence of God. Now, in conclusion this morning, a rabbi once asked his students this question: when can we know that the night has ended and the day begun? The students thought about this and they came up with all kind of answers, but no one had the right answer for the rabbi. And they said, "What is the correct answer? What can we know that the night has ended and the day has begun?" And a rabbi answered and said, "It is the moment when you can look at a face never seen before and recognize the stranger as a brother or a sister. Until that moment, no matter how bright the day, it is still night." Pretty good answer, isn't it? So how are we to let our light shine for the glory of God? Jesus made it pretty clear, didn't he, that we are to be the salt of the earth, we are to let our light shine. In these parables here, speaks of the kingdom of God. Every one of them is addressed, all 39, the kingdom of God. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like, you know, assaulting the earth, letting our light shine. And in that day and time, Jesus was criticized for what he taught, for hanging out with sinners and going places that the religious leaders didn't agree with and so forth. And sometimes we withhold ourselves from going places or associating with people that we even know that maybe not be sinners. I mean, Christians, but unbelievers. And yet, we choose not to be around them. That's what Jesus was alluding to here with the disciples. that they were to go in those places or meet people where they are, even though they may not associate with them in any other way, but be the light and the salt of the earth. What a good example for us, these parables of building the kingdom of God. And a few minutes when I read the scriptures for our Lord's Supper and so forth, even Mark talks about the kingdom of God. You know, everything that we see in the scriptures is about the kingdom of God. Here now, and one of these days when Jesus comes again, he will bring the kingdom with him that will fully be established. And see, we can be a part of that, of building his kingdom. That's why Jesus said, you know, the kingdom of God is at hand. I'm establishing the kingdom day by day. Jesus was building the kingdom here on earth the 3.5 years that he was ministering. And look at the years that you and I have to help establish the kingdom of God, winning people to Jesus Christ, building the kingdom of God. And, you know, we can have a great part of that. That's why I say we all have a usage and a purpose for God. And we are not to isolate ourselves, but we are to make ourselves available for him. Let us pray. Our Father God, we praise your holy name this morning. We thank you for this message where you're building relationships, helping the disciples see building relationships is important. And as we build relationships, Lord, you know, we all are to abstain from any appearance of evil. Paul even says that. But Lord, there's some times that we might need to step out of our comfort zone and talk to people or go places where that maybe not be presentable, but not be a part of the actual event or situation, but be your witness and abstain from any appearance of evil, but yet let our light shine and salt the earth with salvation, with love, the power of love that you have given us. And as it radiates through our lives and as we share it with other people, then they know we've been with you, that we belong to you, and that we testify of you. Lord, what a joy it is to see an unbeliever become a part of your kingdom. What a joy that is. And Lord, may your word settle within our hearts. May it just not be knowledge to our mind, but may it settle in our hearts, and may we take it serious. All the things that we read and study about your word, Lord, is true. And Lord, if we believe it, then Lord, we want to share it. We want to be your instruments. We want to be your messengers, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, your son. And Lord, I pray this morning that each and every one of us will look within and say, Lord, how can you use me? How can I be the salt, the good salt that flavors the world, that makes a difference in this world? And that no matter where I go, wherever you send me, Lord, they'll know I'm shining for you. Lord, let that be our witness and our testimony of this day, and this day forward, that we are not ashamed of the gospel, as Paul would say, because it's the power of salvation to even those who are lost. I praise you and I thank you, Lord, for this invitation we're going to be singing, and Lord, for the observance of the Lord's Supper here in a few minutes. We praise you and we thank you in Christ's name. Amen. We're going to stand and sing our hymn of invitation, which is Near the Cross.